Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, all you booberry muffins out there? Welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are so excited to be bringing you guys another episode from our spooky studio down here in Salem, Massachusetts. October is in full swing. The ghouls are out. The goblins are
goblin
around, and the witches are in full effect. Aiden, how we doing tonight?
We are chilling.
Nice. I feel like this. I wonder, and I might be saying something that's like sacrilegious on a ghost podcast, but I feel like because we have such a long and intense Halloween season here in Salem, like I'm getting to the point now where it's like, all right, I want it to be Halloween. Like it's not like I want the season to be over, but like we have all this buildup. I have had pumpkin injected in my veins for the past like month and a half. It's like, all right, like we can only go so much farther.
I mean, you look out my window and you're in the action in Salem.
Yes.
So it's been intense.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, once that release comes though, you're always just like, oh,
it's
like,
over.
What do I even do with
myself? Yeah, like it's over now. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas, but then it's like, it's starting to get to the time of year where it's like, oh man, it was so fun and it was fall and it was cool. And now it's like dark outside at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's dark outside till 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's just like the fact that it is, the season has fully shifted is very abundant now. So yeah, definitely excited to be in the hap still. But definitely excited for the season to be not over, because that makes it sound bad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well,
before we get into today's stories,
oh yeah,
we should let you know about our Halloween special.
Facts. That's a good point.
So we're going to be putting out an episode on Halloween, which is on a Friday, but we're going to be putting out an extra episode the week of Halloween.
Yep.
Just for you Halloweenies out there.
Yeah. Happy Halloweeners.
Ah.
Well, I didn't come up with that. Did you ever watch Hubie Halloween?
Yes.
You know how the mom always had like the crazy shirts on?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was one of them.
Yeah.
Yep. My favorite was I shaved my balls for this. There was a couple of good ones. Boner Donor. that was a good one. Oh, man. But yeah, so super excited for the Halloween episode. Super excited. We're not picking a specific city for it. So I want, I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, there will be a few different tweaks to our style.
Yes.
For that episode specifically.
Yep.
But if you guys like it, let us know and we'll keep it rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, do you want to get into today's episode?
Yeah. So we are heading down. Have you ever been to this place?
No, I haven't.
Okay. We're going down to a place that neither of us have ever been to. St. Augustine, Florida, which is apparently a very, very haunted place.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about my story today.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten a lot of coverage.
Nice.
And a lot of like paranormal investigators have gone there and such. So I'm excited to get into it. But before that, we're sipping on a drink called the Corpse Reviver.
Ooh.
So it's another gin drink, but I have faith that it won't be too ginny. So what you're going to do is equal parts of all of these ingredients. So gin, Lillet Blanc, Triple Sec, and lemon juice, and then a little cherry garnish.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, and make sure you like pour a little bit of absinthe into the cup that you're going to be drinking it out
of.
Oh,
like do like
and just
a
do
swish.
A little swish.
Well, almost as if like a worth vermouth, like for a martini, yeah. Like where you just like swish it around.
Yeah, you're
and
just
shit.
Coating the inside of the glass with the absinthe you don't want, like a puddle of it in there.
Sure.
Because it's very intense.
Nice.
But that is the drink, the Corpse Reviver.
Cool.
And just a reminder, for October, we're not doing like drinks that are local to the place. So this isn't local to St. Augustine that I know of, but it's more of a like spooky season, Halloween season drink.
Nice.
It's a popular drink at some Salem bars.
So very cool.
I've had sips of this kind of drink before.
Nice.
But we'll see how my variation of it is.
Well, I'm excited.
Cheerio.
Cheers.
Kind of a weak sauce cheers.
It was a weak sauce cheers.
Ooh, that's tasty.
Nice.
Yeah. So I did, because Triple Sec is obviously an orange liqueur, I did an orange gin to like go with it, just to be fun about the drink making process. And it tastes very orangey, but very good. But so the thing that, yeah, dude, very orangey, but very tasty.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds delish.
Tis delish. All right. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get into my story for today.
Nice.
Dude, fucking bars. Am I right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing the St. Augustine Lighthouse. So long before the current tower was built, that is the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Wait, but also, too, they say Spirits on Spirits pod first.
Have we never done a lighthouse before?
I don't think so.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Dude, we're crushing these firsts.
Yeah. Also, did you know St. Augustine, first city in the United States?
Yeah, because Jamestown and Plymouth were settlements.
Yes.
But St. Augustine was a city.
It was the first city.
Yeah, yeah.
Because them Spanish.
Pretty cool.
Pretty, very cool, I feel like.
But so, yeah, long before the current tower was built, this stretch of coast was already a point of light for sailors. The Spanish were the first to settle here way back in the 1500s, and they understood the danger of the shifting sandbars that guarded St. Augustine's harbor. So to guide their ships safely in, they built crude wooden watchtowers that burned open flames through the night as, like, little makeshift lighthouses. As the centuries passed, the Spanish came and went, the British took over for a time, and then after the American Revolution, the new United States took control of Florida, and with it, it took the responsibility of keeping sailors safe. So in 1824... America's first official lighthouse in Florida was established right here in St. Augustine. It was built from coquina stone, or coquina? I don't know how to pronounce
that's
that.
That's a fun stone.
It is a fun stone. So it was a soft, pale rock made from ancient seashells, which was beautiful, but it was fragile.
Wait, but that's so sick, though.
Super cool, right? It stood proudly for decades. But the ocean is a patient enemy, and the tides slowly chewed away at the shoreline, dragging the sand from beneath the old tower's foundation. By the middle of the 1800s, it was clear that the sea would claim it soon, and so plans began for a new lighthouse, which was taller, stronger, and set further inland. Construction on the new tower began in 1871. It would take 3 long years to finish, built brick by brick by local craftsmen, freedmen, and laborers who toiled under the Florida sun. The man overseeing it all was a builder named Hezekiah H. Pitty.
That's an amazing name.
What a name.
What a name on that gentleman.
He moved down from Maine with his wife and children. He was a Mainer.
Mainer down in the FL.
Probably had some mean lobster rolls while he was up there.
No, they didn't eat lobsters back then, remember?
Oh, right, that was for the poor.
Yeah, because they thought they were red like the devil.
And they also thought that bottom feeders were like the trash bins of the ocean, basically.
Yep.
So they thought that lobsters were dirty.
That they did.
And now you can't get it for under like $50 a pound or whatever.
No, it's fucking nuts now.
The Pitty family lived the way that many lighthouse families did. They were humble, busy, and bound together by duty. While Hezekiah supervised the tower's construction, his children often played around the site. In those days, safety rules were new, and to the Pitty girls, the half-built lighthouse must have felt like the playground. Piles of sand, rolling carts, wooden tracks, and laughter echoing across the island. By 1874, the tower was finished. It was a towering black and white striped sentinel capped with a red lantern room. At 165 feet, it was the tallest structure for miles. It was visible from 20 miles out at sea.
That's a long ass way away.
Right, dude, that's like...
That's fucking far, dude.
Like, you know, for like... I don't know how many miles... How many miles a ship could go back then, but like... You probably knew for like a good day that you were on the right track.
Coming in. I feel like there's no, dude, 20 miles? Like ships do that in a, like.
Now?
Like a couple of hours.
But sailing?
20 miles? I feel like 20 miles is like probably like 3-4 hours. You're like.
That.
Like, yeah, they could see the lighthouse all the way from Boston. It's like, that's not 20 miles.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, man. You know what? I don't know either. We're going to need to get a mariner up in here.
Do they call sailors from Maine, Mainer Mariners?
Ooh, they might. They should.
Mainerers?
Mainerers.
Mainerers?
Mannerers? Mannery Manor?
Where was I? When its new First Order Fresnel lens, was lit, its glow could pierce even the thickest fog. So
Whoa.
It was like state of the art. For the
so time. it was a bright ass lighthouse.
What's up with all these bars today?
A ball. Bright ass lighthouse.
Bright ass lighthouse. A ball.
Ball.
It was a bow.
It was a bow. What a bow, dude.
But the same year as the light was coming to life, the Pitty family's world fell into darkness.
Oh, no.
So we're going on to the Pitty tragedy.
Oh.
Tough.
It was a Pitty party? Not a Pitty party?
Dude, we're on it with these puns today.
Not a Diddy party, that's for sure.
No. Far from it.
Pity instead of Diddy. I pity the Diddy.
I pity the fool.
Oh, man.
The story's been told so many times that the details have softened around the edges, but the grief at its heart remains sharp. It was a summer day in the early 1870s. The kids were playing near the construction site.
Oh, no.
Using a small cart.
Don't that like.
Ran along the rails carrying supplies.
Wait, the kids were just using a rail cart?
Yeah, like I said, they used the construction site as like a playground.
Got you. So they're like, guys, we should just hop on this train.
Yeah, they were doing some dumb stuff.
Got you.
It was one of their favorite games, riding down the tracks towards the water and
the
cart bumped to a stop at the end.
Fair, like, that would be sick.
It would be
as
sick.
As a kid. Like,
yeah.
You're on the ocean just ripping on this cart.
And you think
thing.
You're invincible. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
No way I'm going to die doing this.
Yes. Most games as a kid, you don't think, I might die while I do this. So,
well,
that's fair.
That afternoon,
oh no,
horribly wrong.
They die doing this?
It's a ghost podcast.
That's fair.
As the cart reached the end of the line, it hit a bump and tipped over into a pit that had filled with water from recent rains.
Uh-oh.
The cart trapped several of the children underneath, including two of the Pitty girls and a young friend.
That's not good.
By the time workers rushed to pull them free, it was too late.
Uh-oh.
The girls drowned before anyone could save them.
No.
Only the youngest child, Carrie Pitty, survived.
Oh. Well, that's not a lifelong of trauma that you're
watching your two sisters and one of their friends die,
get trapped underneath a cart and
drown
in rainwater puddle.
Oh, Jesus. News of the tragedy spread quickly through St. Augustine. Hezekiah's wife, Mary, was inconsolable, rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
Within months, the family left Florida and returned to Maine to bury their daughters.
Yeah.
The laughter that had once filled the grounds vanished, but over time, the same laughter began to return.
Faint, oh.
Distant, and inexplicable.
Whoa.
So for more than a century, people have whispered about the ghosts of the St. Augustine Lighthouse. Most famously, the playful spirits of the Pity Kids. So, keepers who lived on the property long after the tragedy reported hearing small footsteps racing across the floors of the keeper's house. Doors would open and close on their own. Toys left in rooms for display would move overnight, new positions the next morning.
Well, that's cool.
It is cool.
Like, it seems like they're not mad that they died.
Like, no, they're just playing around like,
yeah, like they're
like they were before.
They're being kids still, which is good.
Staff would hear giggles echoing up the spiral staircase, the sound of children at play, though no children were there. Visitors have reported seeing two small girls in old-fashioned clothing darting around corners or peering down from the upper landings. One volunteer once described locking up for the night and hearing what she swore was the sound of children running behind her, bare feet on the wood floors, then silence. When she turned around, the hall was empty. The museum staff, who know this place better than anyone, say that they've gotten used to it. They're mischievous, one longtime employee told a local reporter. They don't mean any harm, they just never stopped playing. But not all ghosts at the St. Augustine Lighthouse are kids.
Oh, whoa.
So, over the years, a number of lighthouse keepers tended the beacon. And
wait, but can I just pause you real quick? Because I was thinking about, like, I want to do more of a deep dive on them. It seems like they're a part of the, like, no one is mad they're there. No one's creeped out by it. They're just kind of like, yeah, they're there type of thing. Like, they're accepted as part of the environment and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is cool, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's very cool.
Like, it's just part of the experience when you go.
Yeah, and, like, the people that work there, it's like, oh, that's the Pity Kids.
The Pity Kitties. The
Pity Oh, man. But, yeah, all right, sorry. But I wanted to kind of cap that up.
Yeah. So, in addition to the kids, a few of the lighthouse keepers met tragic ends of their own.
No.
One of the most frequently mentioned is Joseph, I think it's pronounced Andrew, but it could also be Andrew.
Oh, cool.
Joseph Andrew, I'll say Andrew for the sake of this, is Joseph Andrew, who was an early keeper of the original lighthouse, so the one before they built it out of, like, the more sturdy materials.
Sure. It was the seashell lighthouse.
The seashell lighthouse at that point. He died in the mid-1800s when the old tower gave way. While whitewashing the exterior, the scaffolding beneath him collapsed.
They built a Starbucks? Whitewashing, get it.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, but so he was just in the lighthouse and it just fucking annihilated itself?
Yeah.
And that's how he died?
Yeah, he fell to his death.
Jeez.
But something cool did come out of this death. So his widow, Maria, took over his duties and became the first female lighthouse keeper in Florida.
Whoa, that's cool.
She was also of Hispanic descent. So she was also the first female Hispanic descent lighthouse keeper. Yeah.
Everyone's probably like, wow, that's so cool that you're breaking barriers. And she's like, yeah, well, it's because my husband fell to his death.
Yeah.
So it must have been a double-edged coin for her.
Yeah. But I think that I think I also read that because of this, she was also the first female, like, member of the U.S. Coast Guard.
Whoa, that's cool.
Which is super cool. So, at least something good came out of it.
Yeah. She probably didn't give a shit, though. She's like, I'd rather my husband still be here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd give up being the first of anything for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, time marched on, and the lighthouse, like the city it guarded, endured both triumph and tragedy. So, during the Civil War, Confederate sympathizers removed and hid the light's lens to keep Union ships from being able to navigate by it. After the war, the lens was replaced and the tower once again shone over the coast.
For a second, I didn't know where you were going with that, and I was like, Confederate sympathizers removed. I was like, did the lighthouse think slaves should be free people? Like, I was like, why did they have beef with the lighthouse?
The lighthouse sided with the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, that makes sense, though. That makes sense. It was a strategic move.
Yeah, they didn't want, especially with the, like, changing sandbars and stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, if we can give them a slight disadvantage, that's enough. But the 20th century brought new threats. So as technology advanced, many lighthouses across the country fell into neglect. By the 1970s, the St. Augustine Light Station had been automated and the keeper's house stood empty. Its windows were boarded and its paint was peeling. One night in 1970... arsonists came and set the keeper's house ablaze. Flames consumed much of the structure, and locals watched helplessly as smoke rose into the sky, thinking the building was lost forever. But over time, volunteers rallied, raising funds and forming what would become the St. Augustine Lighthouse and Maritime Museum. They restored the keeper's house brick by brick. They salvaged what they could of the original structure, and then they reopened it to the public. The lighthouse survived, but it was slightly scarred from the fire.
Sure, that makes sense.
But some say that after the fire, the hauntings in the lighthouse grew stronger. Maybe, like, the ghosts were, like, stirred by the disruption or, like, I don't know. I was thinking about this part when I was researching it. I wonder if, like, fire gives energy that ghosts can use. Or something?
Is that a theory?
It's my theory.
Now, talk us through the theory over here.
So, in my mind...
Dr. Franken theory.
I am just putting this together right now. But, if you think about it, like, fire's like... I don't know, like... It takes energy for it to burn, right?
Yeah.
And it like, if a flame is, like, really going, it's like... You can feel the energy coming off of it. Like, not just the heat.
Well, yeah, like, it's like the thermal energy. Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe ghosts can use that to, like, enhance their powers or something like
that. I don't think it's the dumbest idea out there.
I actually think it's a pretty good one, but I would dare say it's a pretty good theory.
Oh, man.
One visitor described... climbing the tower late at night, the air was thick and still. Halfway up, she paused to catch her breath. From below, she heard the sound of someone running up the steps, quick, light footsteps, but when she turned, no one was there. Others report hearing a man's voice calling their name softly from the landing above. And a few standing in the lantern room claim to have seen a shadow moving near the lens, a tall shape that simply fades into the darkness. But the cool thing about this is that, like, while it's currently a museum, it is also still functioning as a lighthouse.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Lighthouses are so sick, dude.
I think it's a cool, like, I don't know, like, when you go into, like, a museum that's, like, someone's old house or something like that, like, obviously it can't be used. But, like, a lighthouse has multiple functions.
Absolutely.
It can be, like, a viewpoint. It can be... a museum, it can also still be a functioning lighthouse.
Yeah.
So, pretty
100%.
Cool.
100%. Very cool.
And that is the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
So, what do you think? Haunted or not?
Haunted.
How come?
Kids, man.
Yeah. The kids get you, dude.
The kids get me specifically. Like, I feel like anytime there's a kid involved, it's definitely gearing towards haunted.
Well, and I also think... there's something to be said about just the fact that there was so much, like, kids have so much energy. So, like, when they get frozen in that state, there's a lot more energy than, like, if... like, think of if you were going to turn into a ghost now versus when if you were going to turn into a ghost when you were 10 years old. You'd have so much more energy at a 10-year-old ghost. Now I'm like, bro, fucking just dragging my ass everywhere I go.
Especially if it's like a tourist destination, like the lighthouse is, where there's like people coming to, like buying tickets to come and see it.
Yeah,
Dude.
like there's just some energy in the air there, and the
Like,
kids feed off that, and they have their own energy and stuff like
as the
that. Yeah.
26-year-old me, if I am a ghost in a tourist destination, I'm like, just fucking go away, dude.
Or they, I don't,
But as a
yeah.
kid, as a 10-year-old kid, I'd be like, holy shit, there's people here. That's
Yeah.
cool.
That's fair. That's a good point. That is a good point.
I'm also just a curmudgeon, but
Yeah. I agree. I think I'm going haunted as well. I do. I think there's, like we just talked about, a lot of energy when it comes to kids. So I think that energy is trapped there. I also think like a lighthouse is such a unique experience for the people that work there. Like I just feel like people are trapped there because they have this almost like. Like they have a very noble profession of just like making sure everyone stays safe, but like are very isolated in the way that they do it and stuff like that. So I feel like people just kind of get stuck there.
for sure.
So,
And it's an island, so it's easy to get stuck there.
So all right, I'm going haunted as well. You want to chug and reload?
Do you got a
Oh.
slam poem?
I don't have a slam poem, but I can come up with one really quickly.
Well, the good news is you don't have to make it super long because I already chugged my drink.
Oh, okay. How about this? You make another one, and then I'll do the slam poetry when we come back.
All right, that works.
Yep.
All right, we will be right back.
All right, burbs. We are back. Aiden's got a fresh new drink. Now, I wasn't prepared with the slam poetry because I had realized Aiden and I wrote our stories about the exact same place. It was 100% on me. He told me which one he was going to do, and I didn't fully read it, and then also wrote my story about the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
That
So,
ADHD brain, baby.
didn't have a story ready to go, so I was a little frazzled, so that's what I was doing. So I didn't get a chance to do the slam poetry, but I did slap one together pretty quickly, and I will say it does sound a little funny. So without further ado, this week's slam poetry, Will Ferrell haunts my house and my heart.
No way, dude. All
The
right.
lights flicker. Not because of ghosts, but because Will Ferrell just plugged in his karaoke machine again. He's wearing a cape made of he's wearing a cape made of glitter and regret, yelling, "Stay classy, Transylvania," to an audience of confused skeletons. The air smells like Axe body spray and unfinished SNL sketches. He winks at me. The chandelier wobbles. I question my life choices. He recites Elf. Lines in a low, eerie tone. You sit on a throne of lies. And suddenly the Ouija board starts spelling buddy. He moonwalks across my hardwood floor, knocks over a candelabra, and whispers, spooky, but make it comedy. I scream. He screams. We both scream. Not from fear, though, but from raw artistic passion. And when the clock strikes midnight, he fades away into the fog, muttering something about a haunted Anchorman sequel. Now my house smells like popcorn and punchlines, and every October night I leave one candle burning in case Will Ferrell wants to come back and keep things weird. There you
Love
go.
it.
Thought that was a good one. All right. Story time. Now the story that I picked is one that I have never been, but my father actually was very close to going to Flagler College. Am I saying that
Is
correctly?
it Flagler?
Flagler?
Is
Is
there
it?
an L at the
Yeah,
end?
there is definitely. Yeah.
Flagler, I think.
Flagler. Flagler
I think,
College.
I don't
Yeah,
know.
all right. So Flagler College is apparently a very spooky spot. A little spooky while you study. A little spook and studying. You can get a degree in economics and spookonomics.
Ooh,
Yep.
okay. Econom spooks.
Yeah. I doubled minored in ghosts. I don't know. I ran out of them. But it actually, before it was a college, was a very fancy hotel. It
Ooh,
was a
okay.
bougie little place to rest your head.
Oh, bougie little
Yeah.
place.
Bougie little place. So the main building of Flagler College was originally the Ponce de Leon Hotel.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
Yeah. A lavish resort built in 1888 for oil magnate and railroad tycoon Henry Morrison Flagler. In 1967, the hotel closed and reopened as a college in 1968. And then over the years, it began to develop more and more into a school. But that main building and that the infrastructure really mimics and looks like a luxury hotel.
Cool.
So we have some very interesting ghosts that apparently reside here. So from its hotel days, we have the Woman in Black. So the woman in black lives in the mirror room on the fourth floor, and legend says that Henry Flagler had a mistress or multiple that he kept in a room on the fourth floor that was lined with mirrors. So he had mirrors going around the whole room, which
Sounds a little freaky.
I was gonna say you're getting a little freaky deaky up in there.
Patrick Bateman kind of
Yeah,
stuff.
a little freaky deaky. Look, Ma, no hands, type of shit. But apparently, because she got he kept the mistress locked in there, she went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and hung herself from the chandelier,
Oh.
inside the room.
That's also. Like, I feel like that should not be possible. I feel like the chandelier should fall.
I don't know. I mean, like a rich people chandelier probably does support a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was crazy. Could you imagine just being stuck in a room all day where it's just the whole walls are lined with mirrors and you just have to stare at
Dude, that
yourself?
would be miserable. Because, like, you're not just staring at yourself, you're staring at, like, 8,000 versions of yourself
Yeah.
because it's just. Also, they say that two mirrors facing each other is like a portal or something, like creates like a portal for ghosts or
Just
something.
you and your elevator game shit again.
Dude, I'm relaying the message. I mean, you know me, I'm a skeptic,
Yeah.
but I'm just saying that's what people
Oh,
say,
man.
is that if you have two mirrors where like if you look in one, you can see through the other one, then they say that that's a portal for spirits.
Okay. I still think that was funny because, like, I am not the skeptic in that story when you told me about the meow. I was like, what?
Dude, again, I am telling the story. I am the messenger, the narrator. I'm not necessarily a person who's like, yeah, this is 100% true.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let me get back to it. So, his second wife, Ida Alice Flagler, is another spirit tied to the hotel slash college. So apparently she was loony. She wasn't playing with a full deck of cards. And he had her institutionalized, and she died in the institution. And her spirit is reportedly seen around a portrait of him in the hallways. And she just like stares at it and cries.
That makes sense.
That's sad.
It is sad, but
Maybe
that
she
makes
wasn't
sense.
just loony. Maybe she just wanted him to fold laundry or something like that. And back in that time, he's like, no, there's something wrong with your brain.
Or, I mean, we know that he has been unfaithful in the past.
That's fair.
Maybe he was like having an affair and she was like, "Are you shitting me?" And then he was like, "Yeah, I'm not dealing with this." And then he sent her away.
Yeah, fair. So he himself died in 1913, And his body was laid in the hotel's rotunda. And then the legend surrounding this is that as his body was there, the door slammed shut. Like, while his, like, just active body was in there, the door slammed shut on their own and trapped his spirit in there. So he himself, his spirit, cannot leave.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty cool. Then apparently a young boy went bye-bye there as well. Not sure how. Says he fell or died accidentally. But that was kind of all the information I got. And then in the main building as well, the former ballroom is a hotspot on the fourth floor. And then the servants' quarters on the third floor is a hotspot as well. Sorry, yawn break. So what we're seeing here, we're getting crazy shit that's going down. Okay?
Ooh, I like crazy shit.
We're getting crazy shit. We're getting all kinds of weird shit. Hold on. Some of my text was weird. But we're getting cold spots on the upper floors. We're getting the classic cold spots. Those orbs of the orbs of people not with us anymore.
If you're playing the world famous spirits on spirits drinking game of orbs and cold spots, yeah. Every time you hear that, you take a drink, you're going to be schlobbered.
Yep. Hella orbs.
Cold spots, cold spots, cold yeah. spots. Orbs, orbs, orbs.
Oh, man. Never mind. I was going to make a bad joke. And then flickering lights. Them lights be turning themselves off in areas close to students, especially on the fourth floor. Wild. So
the
this
fourth
where,
floor is like,
yeah,
pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. So I got two more. So we're talking pale woman in a period dress standing silent by a large portrait of Henry Flagler. We know that's his second wife,
Ida.
Ida not have a full deck of cards. Ida wish you weren't loopy. No, but she be hanging out there. But what I will say is she's apparently hella pale. But like hella pale in a way of like, there's like pale people out there. Like we're both pretty pale. So like there's pale people out there. But she is pale in the way of like,
otherworldly
and yeah, pale. Well, like otherworldly pale, but also like didn't see the sunlight like while she was alive. Like remember she was institutionalized.
So what do you remember what year she died?
She died early 1900s.
Okay, so like back then I think that was maybe just the style, right? Like the
being hella pale.
Were,
yeah, that's fair.
Like being at one point in history, and I think it was that time, paleness showed wealth because you weren't like out working the fields and
yeah.
stuff. You were. You
I think it was a little past then, because no one was working the fields in the 1900s. Well, not no one, but like not a lot of people were working the fields in the 1900s. But what I will say, and this is where this one I went fuck no. So there's an account online where, and this is a direct quote, someone said, my roommate saw a figure dressed in black standing at the foot of her bed. The figure did not respond when spoken to and eventually moved to the corner of the room.
Ooh.
Fuck no, dude. Could you imagine being in college and just having a ghost in your... Like, college, you are so just not put together and not mentally there the entire time that, like, I would wake up, see someone dressed in black, and the... And also, too, the other piece of it that I think is hilarious is, like, didn't respond, like, hey, you, what are you doing in my room? Just didn't respond. Then you're like, can you fucking move? And then they just go and stand in the corner. You're
but
like, come on.
I will, to play devil's advocate and the skeptic, college kids, not very reliable, do drugs, drink alcohol.
Fair.
Sleep heavy.
Yeah.
So, you know. Maybe they were just experiencing something while they were not all there.
Maybe, but I feel like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like this is something else. But I could be wrong. I could totally be wrong.
I could be wrong too. Could be the spirit, but also could just be they were seeing stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, and then phantom footsteps in the hallways. So phantom footsteps and whispers in the hallways as well when no one is present. Although when I say, like, when no one's present, it's like, well, someone was present to witness that. So, like, someone was present. Yeah. But I guess if you're standing still and you hear footsteps, you're like, okay, that
and
was...
And so this is in, like a dorm building, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, most dorms have roommates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Could be sleep talking.
So, yeah, I agree with you. We got disembodied music from the unused ballrooms on the fourth floor.
Fun.
So, especially heard late at night, which I thought was interesting.
Dude, can you imagine being in college, like, having, like, a final the next day, and you're being kept up by, like, early 1900s, like...
Yeah.
like, record scratch music.
Bro, that's no-go. Being woken up by anyone in college, like by a roommate, is fucking awful.
I wanted to. There was a few people and a few times that I wanted to literally throw someone down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like a ghost. There's no escaping that. There's no throwing him down the stairs. There's just like, hey man, can you chill for tonight, please? I have a final in the morning.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I agree. So now I want to give you just a couple of Reddit accounts. So the first one was, someone said, I went to Flagler College. A roommate always said the TV would come on by itself in the suite, and then we would hear someone walking behind us when no one was there.
Creepy.
Creepy as heel. The other one that I thought was very interesting was someone said, I had my own encounter with a woman in black in my dorm room. And at the time, I chalked it up to being tired, just like you said. But weeks later, a classmate did a project on the ghost stories of Flagler, and he mentioned the woman in black who had been seen in the wing my dorm was in.
Ooh.
That would freak me out, because you're like, it's nothing. And then someone's like, no, that was actually something. You go, oh. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep in that room ever again.
So, is this all happening in one building, or is this, like, spread out throughout campus?
Throughout campus, but there's specific areas that are more hotspots. Because those were the areas that were around when the hotel, like, those were...
Okay, yeah, so it's mostly, like, around, like, the hotel central building kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no thanks. I wonder if you look like online at like the reviews for the different, because I think there's like reviews for different like dorm buildings and stuff.
Probably, yeah.
I wonder if you look at the reviews for this building and they're like, don't like, get a dorm.
Do not live there.
There was a couple at our school, at our college.
Really?
Where people said that there were spirits at those,
well, maybe
like
we'll,
in those dorm
maybe
buildings.
We'll have to investigate. At some point.
One of them was in like a section of the campus that I lived in. And I walked by it a couple times, but I don't think I ever went in. Pretty freaky. It was allegedly like an old student or something.
Oh shit. That's weird. Yeah, so that's Flagler. What do you think? Haunted or nah?
Dude, I don't know. So I'm a little conflicted on this one because I feel like while the stories are compelling, the narrators are unreliable.
Because it's kids?
Because it's college kids specifically.
Yeah, that's
like when
fair.
You're in college, you're, I don't know. I mean, like a lot of people do substances, drink, or you're just like really tired all the time. So,
I don't know. That's fair. Dude, I had, so this story actually... Do you want, speaking of creepy shit from college, I was thinking this the other day. So, I guess when I was in college, or when we were in college, because we were in college at the same time, I didn't know really what like schizophrenia or like mental illness level paranoia was. And I remember there was, did I ever tell you about the girl who lived in my dorm? I guess I could be a little bit more
specific. Yeah,
well, did I ever tell you about the girl that lived in my dorm? Do we have time right now? So, first off.
Yeah, we're fine on time.
All right. I'll tell this story in a second. I want to cap off Flagler.
So I'll, for the sake of my skepticism, like as far as places that I think would be haunted if ghosts were real, I would probably put this at the lower end. So I'll say not haunted just for the sake of.
Okay.
The podcast.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What
are you saying?
I think it's haunted. There's like, especially hotels. Bro, especially, he got the freaky, he got the Diddy room, like the mirror room, like, dude, like.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, and she went crazy in that room and hung herself. Like, there's definitely some shit going on, dude.
That's fair. I stick by my assessment, but.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fine. But, all right. Flagler. I think haunted. Aiden doesn't. Lighthouse, we both think is haunted. St. Augustine.
Sound off in the comments. What do you think on both of these places?
Yeah.
If you're just listening for the paranormal stuff, I assume that portion of the podcast is over.
Yes.
Now we're into the...
Like, subscribe. We love you all. Come to Salem for October. Tell us what costumes you're going to wear. That'd be fun. Dude, our Halloween episode, we should film in costumes.
That would be fun. I wish we had the ability to record.
I know.
Like film.
I think we should film in costumes, and we should sit down with blankets over us so, like, the other can't see the costume until the episode starts.
That's a good idea.
Like, we'll do, like a sheet in the middle. We can talk about this more offline, but I think that potentially might be a funny idea. All right.
So, if you're here just for the ghosts, this part might not be for you. If you want to stick around, then stick around for Nate's story.
Yeah, if you want to hear about some creepy-ass girl that lived in my dorm in college. So again, I did not really know what, like, mental illness. I didn't know people got paranoid from having a mental illness or something like that. And especially this girl smoked a shit ton of weed. I think. I actually might be making that up now. But I feel like she was a big stoner, which if your brain is not the right type of brain for it, weed can give you serious levels of paranoia. Paranoia. I don't know why I can't say that word.
Because you're thinking paranormal?
Probably. I got a ghost brain. But so she was not a friend of mine. I had just moved in. Didn't know her. Like, there was a... her friend had... Hold on. This is going to be confusing. We had a friend who lived on our floor, and he was friends with this girl, and the girl the story's about was friends with that other girl. So she'd stop by our dorm room, like, once in a while. Like she would show up in a group. Like, she would never show up by herself.
She was a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yes, at first. And she got talking one time about how she had an experience the year before, like, during COVID school. No, it wasn't COVID at that point. But just, like, I had an experience before where someone was hacking her webcam on her laptop.
I feel like I told you about this,
but I'll still just, where she was saying that someone was hacking her webcam on her camera or on her laptop, and they would just keep, like, every once in a while hack in and, like, watch her. Like, she said, like, the light would go on. I forget exactly how. And then she'd get, like, FaceTimes from, like, random numbers that would, like, call her on her laptop, and she'd answer, and it'd be like a black screen.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Again, this might be real, but I'm starting to think the older I get, the more, like, I think she was just kind of, like, a little out there. But she was under the impression that someone was trying to traffic her, and there was people on campus that would follow her around and like follow her through the dining hall. Like they would like run after her, like in the like common areas and stuff like that. Like they'd sit outside the window of her dorm and stuff like that.
And do you remember if it was like different people?
I think so. I think she said it was like different people and stuff like
That
that.
definitely sounds like it would be more paranoia than like.
Right? I think so.
I mean,
Who knows?
who knows?
She might be in a shipping container in China right now. Like she might have got got.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
But,
I
I
hope
mean,
not.
if it was one guy, I'd be like, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Then maybe it's like something
But she went to the
nefarious.
police, I think, a couple of times, and there like wasn't much they could do to help her. And I guess now that I realize, like, if the police can't do much to help you in that kind of case, it's probably because you're
No, they're
it's
notoriously bad about stalking
really?
cases. Yeah, they can't do anything.
Really? Why?
Because technically a crime hasn't been committed until a crime is committed.
Got you.
But like just walking in the same direction or like calling a lot or
Yeah,
stuff like
that's not
that.
a
It's like
crime.
it's
That's
not a
fair.
crime, yeah.
That's fair. But yeah, I thought that was crazy. And creepy as hell. 'Cause then she would like the thing is like then she would just show up randomly and like tell us like another incident that happened. I was like, bro, I don't wanna like I'm not getting
I
involved
feel
in this
like I
shit.
don't remember so like did it ever come to a head? Like did it ever like was there ever like a climax to it?
I don't think so.
It was just consistently like things are happening and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it got to a point where I was like, bro, I don't, like, she would knock on the door. I'd look through the people and, like, not answer. Because I'm like, I don't want to be involved in this at all.
That's fair.
So, like, I don't, like, that was, like, yeah, like, when she started showing up by herself, I was like, nope, I'm good.
Interesting that she would just like, I don't know, like you guys were never like friends, right?
No, I don't even know.
Then, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Weird ass story, dude. Creepy as shit.
I mean, hey, like terrifying if true.
Terrifying if true. Terrifying. I mean,
Terrifying either way, really.
I like either way because guess what? She thought it was true. Regardless of
Yeah,
whether or not it
yeah.
was true, she thought it was true.
Yeah.
So the poor thing had to deal with that every single day. That sucks.
Yeah. But I hope
I hope she's okay.
I don't know, like which I mean obviously like do I wish that or do I hope that it was I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Like,
Yeah,
would it
like
be better
would
that
it
it's
be
all in
better
her
that it's
head
all in
or
her head or that it's all real?
probably better? Because guess what? In her head doesn't put her, again, in a shipping container in China somewhere.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't know. I'm not an expert, and I'm also not, I don't know, I'm not saying like I hope blah blah blah, but yeah, I hope she's okay.
Yeah,
Either way,
for sure.
I hope she's doing good.
Yeah, not some like Saudi billionaires like mint slave or something like that. All right, well, that's all I got.
Well, that was a great story to cap
Yeah.
us off. Yeah, I mean, we'll reiterate. Just follow us on socials. Let us know if we can tweak anything or if you have a city that we should visit, or any like specific locations that you want us to cover. Definitely let us know. If you're enjoying it, let us know. If there's anything that you don't like, let us know. Yeah, other than that, we will see you technically not next week. We'll
No?
see you on Halloween.
Yeah. See you on Friday.
All right.
Stay
Until
spooky.
then, peace.
Peace.